B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I wish you guys were my professors in college.
Brad, who are we if we cannot judge people?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Green, put this festival on, you bastards!
Hey, we are Toucher and Rich. And I don't have a phone screener. Nikki, you got to send me the phone screener on Mondays.
I think it's the same link. I think it's
I get a lot of emails. I got a lot of things cooking right now. I got a lot of emails. So wherever it is, I can't find it. So and if I search phone, then it every time anyone's given the word phone has come up in an email comes up. And it's a lot. So just, if you could, send the link. Because I have gone through Nick's emails. And he said, you know, he was kind enough to send us stories for today. And three of them revolve around superhero movies.
Oh, it was a big weekend for them.
Oh, yeah.
Huge weekend.
Three of the seven stories he sent were related to superhero movies.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was all the news, Fred. I mean, you know, there was
Of course, it was. I mean, you couldn't avoid it. It was everywhere.
It was a Comic-Con. Yeah. They rolled out the big guns. You know, you had, like, you know, the weak DC side where it was just Shazam, and then The Rock came out as Black Adam, and then, like, yeah, they're cool.
Because he sent us a DC story because who wouldn't have been all over this? I mean, what a talking point. Robert Downey Jr. was almost Lex Luthor. Can you reserve the 9 a.m. hour? really? Yeah. You mean to tell me that Iron Man was almost Lex Luthor?
Yeah.
That's crazy talk.
That was in the small little annex DC universe room. That was like, you know, the Snyder versus Dead room. And then, meanwhile, over in the Marvel room. Oh, my God! What have you given us? Thank you for feeding our faces with Marvel content until we can't chew anymore. Onslaught. Hey, smorgasbord of shove this in your pie hole Marvel content, including the multiverse saga.
So you're saying DC was so desperate they were like, hey, guys, Robert Downey Jr. almost played Lex Luthor.
Yo,
I just think that's, I do appreciate, I don't want to sound... I don't want to go err on the side of being too nice or too mean, but I do appreciate him sending stories. I do think it's funny that, like, what are we going to do with that? I guess this. But, like, what are we going to, like, hey, guys, like, I mean, open up the phone lines. He was almost Lex Luthor. An actor almost played character in a movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just look, we're now about to enter phase 5 of the Marvel Universe. It goes to Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. There's a mania involving this quantum. Secret Invasion.
Now, Ant-Man and who?
And the Wasp.
Okay, who is the Ant-Man is Paul Rudd.
Yeah, yes. And the Wasp is the Evangeline Lilly, the chick from Lost. Yeah, she is the Wasp. And
which woman from Lost was she? The main woman. Okay.
Yeah. She was the main woman, and there's just a mania with
what
the
is
quantums.
What is the power of the lady from Lost?
The Wasp. She can wear a sweater around her neck and go to country clubs.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
act entitled.
I thought you were going to say she could wear a sweater with a couple puppies in them.
No.
Sweater puppies.
Very waspy of her to do that.
I understand.
The secret, a secret invasion comes after that. That is in spring 2023. It's an invasion that nobody knows about. It's secret. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. That should actually be very good. Echo. Don't know what that is. It's a TV show, and I think it involves a character in a movie that hasn't even been released yet. I think it's
In all seriousness, what does the Wasp do?
It's just like I'm trying to remember. She was like Ant-Man, but she could shoot cool stuff. I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp, which was the second Ant-Man. Ant-Man's a good character. And I think that she could shrink and grow, but she could shoot stuff.
Okay, so there was a movie called Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, there was.
Now, was that a hit?
Yeah, it was pretty big. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely
big. It was no Doctor Strange.
The Multiverse of Madness, which is the second biggest movie of the year so far. Yeah, so there's that. Quantumania is coming out. Secret Invasion, Guardians of the Galaxy, Loki Season 2, The Marvels. Mm-hmm, good family comedy. Blade, I'm legitimately excited for that. Blade was one of the better... By the way, go back and watch... Like the second Blade that came out with Wesley Snipes, one of the goriest movies. My wife, she used to have to edit, you know, movies for television and write down all the different blood and nudity and all that stuff. And Blade, the second one, took her, I think, 3 full days of like an 8-hour work day to stop and write down every single splatter of blood and every beheading. That was a pretty good one. Something called Ironheart. Not sure what that is. Agatha, an awful character from the WandaVision. That she's getting her own show. Daredevil, the TV show. Captain America, New World Order. That's Ministry does the soundtrack. And Thunderbolts, whatever that is. The Thunderbolts. They're just making up stuff now.
Yeah, that's I know. Coming out. This is an awful lot of stuff.
Oh, no. That's not it. That's you forgot about Phase 6. Announced both Phase 5 and Phase 6. Why didn't they make them all one phase? Not quite sure. But in Phase 6, that's where the real heavy hitters come out, in which you get the Fantastic Four, possibly with John Krasinski, and then Avengers, the Kang Dynasty.
What?
I would have preferred the Kangol Dynasty, and then it would just been a bunch of fat guys wearing cool hats.
Where are you?
It's the Kangol Dynasty, Nicholas.
It's like Mark Gemelli and the coach of the Bucks, or the ex-coach of the Bucks. What was his name?
Oh, yeah. What's his face? Oh, God.
Fat guy I already can't.
Bruce Arians.
Yeah, Bruce Arians.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Nick. Look at me. I'm a Marvel guy.
The Kangol Dynasty. And then Avengers Secret Wars. Wow, there's secret invasions. There's secret wars. You can't tell anybody any of this stuff. And so that is number 6. That is the Phase 6 that they've thrown out there.
And at no point will anyone get sick of this. This is going to be... can't miss.
Fred, they haven't yet. Like, that's the thing. I mean, it's like, you know, and you know, I'm not... There's not every movie that I want to see. I haven't seen a couple of the last ones. But I'll see the Kang Dynasty because it just sounds kind of cool. I'll see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Did you see Doctor Strange in the Multiverse?
I loved it. See, I love Sam Raimi, so I loved it. I thought it was actually really good. I like Doctor Strange.
Was it Fred,
I'm a fan of, yes.
In answer to your question, Fred, Phase 6, the last thing that Rich was talking about, the Secret Wars, that's Thanksgiving of 2025. That's how sure they are that people are going to watch this. We're 3.5 years out at this point.
Will it be mad? I just can't. I can't see. I don't know how long this can go on for.
Well, at least
because at least Star Wars like took 20 years off, you know, and got everyone all get all. I mean, there was only 3 Star Wars movies.
Fred, they're making. Hang on, in 2023, 1, 2, 3, 4 movies. 4 movies. And 1, 2, 3, 4 TV shows in 2023 alone.
Like, see, the TV stuff is like whatever because you just throw them on some streaming service. Who cares? It's the movies that are... I mean, they're the only movies anyone makes anymore are Marvel movies.
Well, that's why, you know, the success of a movie like Nope that just came out is huge. You know, they had a very good weekend. It's an original movie. But you could argue that it's, you know, Jordan Peele now kind of almost has like a cult, like a following. And, you know, they'll right. see anything that he comes out with. But it is cool when a movie like that takes a chance and it's not a superhero movie and actually does well at the box office. Because he just, yeah, no one's seeing it. Well, I mean, Top Gun is a sequel, so I guess there was that as well.
Well, yeah, it's not like Top Gun was the Godfather or something.
I mean, right.
He was the toppest gun.
Yes, yeah. the top of the tops.
Yeah, I mean.
But there was also a they released the trailer for the Wakanda Forever. Looks pretty good. Yeah. Not going to lie, that actually looked all right. Yet you still do not know who the Black Panther will be. And then just out of nowhere, and once again, one of the tiny little rooms, they snuck out a little teaser for John Wick 4. And to me, that might have been the highlight of the entire Comic-Con weekend. Because John Wick, once again, a series of movies that are a million times better than they have any possible right to be.
Well, mine was the knowledge that Robert Downey Jr. almost played Lex Luthor. That was the little nugget that I walked away from. All right. Well, listen.
Somebody said Guardians of the Galaxy 3 will be the last one. It was reported last night. And in Secret Wars, I'm pretty sure that's when Spider-Man gets the black suit.
Oh, oh no!
Oh, the black suit! It's finally here!
What happens? What does the black suit mean?
It's not the red suit! It's the black suit!
Does that mean he's a bad guy?
I can help with this one, I think. Okay. My kids are interested in this.
Okay.
My kids are interested. The black suit is apparently his alter ego. After wearing the red suit for a long period of time, you know, the red suit turns into the black suit or something like that. They were explaining it to me a couple of days
ago. Is it like Bizarro?
Yes.
Because if you remember... there was a planet with Bizarro Superman and wheels were square.
That's DC. This is Marvel.
No, no, I understand that, but is it like Bizarro Spider-Man?
Yes,
like,
this is evil. This webs? Is evil Spider-Man. Yes.
No. I thought evil Spider-Man was when Venom took over, right?
You don't know.
I don't know. The way it was explained to me, that's not how it
isn't
works.
Isn't Miles Morales wear a black Spider-Man suit? I thought that was Miles Morales.
All right, you two.
My knowledge has ended. I don't know.
Thank God we're
Miles Morales.
Thank God we're all on location, so you two can't get your hands on each other.
But, I just got a text from Nick, who's very fired up. He goes, "It's the Venom symbolite latching onto Peter Parker. Come on." I did. Yep, everyone's agreeing with me. The black suit is Venom.
Okay.
You got a taste of that with Tobey Maguire as the evil Spider-Man. Remember in the third one? And he was dancing around town, and people did not like that. I thought it was fine.
Okay. You win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do, always.
You did it.
So step back, you un-Marvel-educated bitch. I know.
Neither of you guys own a comic book. All right. We'll be back. Dan Roach, he is a happy man. He spent 4 or 5 days just basking in the glow of Cooperstown, New York. We'll find out how he spent that hour and a half that went on. He never really said why it took him 6 hours to get out there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I am, instead of the 4 and a half, he just announced, like, he took his time, and I don't know how you take your time. Driving 4.5 hours, like, do you just get into the the breakdown lane and just go like 10? Like, I don't understand how you do that. So we'll find out where the unaccounted an hour and a half went in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Waking up, Boston sports fans.
Describing our show to anybody is strange.
I mean, this is nonsense.
What makes a show like this tick, tick, tick?
Torture and Rich.
Oh, God, they're so dumb.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'll tell you another quick story about David. Millar, we were doing the show. I was constantly in the Red Sox clubhouse. Those were like the highlights of my life. 03, 04, 05. Those 3 years, doing Friday night baseball, everything else. It was a blast. So in 05... Kevin says, let's do something. He goes, let me get David. He goes, I'll bet you, I forget what he bet me. He goes, I bet, you've been here for years now. He goes, I bet David doesn't even know your name. Right? I said, I guarantee you he knows my name. He goes, I bet he doesn't. So he goes walking over. He grabs me by the arm. He brings me in front of David's locker. And he goes, who's this? Hey! Hoppy! I lost the bet. So...
I still don't know your name.
I know. Don't, no,
who was always a little mean to Dan Roach. But Dan Roach, it's like that, whatever syndrome that is, that when you fall in love with your captor.
Stockholm Syndrome?
Stockholm
is that what
syndrome.
That is?
Yeah, Stockholm Syndrome. Dan Roach loved him. Dan Roach from WBC TV, fresh off a pilgrimage to Cooperstown, for which he documented on his digital outlets. Dan Roach joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Danny Roach, hello.
Morning, fellas. How we doing?
Well, I mean, obviously not as well as you. Is there a bit of a letdown now? Or was it hard to get up this morning because of, you know, that your experience is over?
Well, I may stop by the hall real quick on my way home, you know, just to do, you know, kind of a little last minute thing, picks up some souvenirs for some people and things like that. So it's not quite over yet. So, but yeah, it was quite a weekend. It was an amazing weekend. Awesome. Have you ever been here? It's like the greatest. Has Milo ever played here, Fred?
No, he was going to go to camp there, but they shut it down because of COVID.
My son, and it's just awesome. It's everything you want as a kid and as a parent. You know, you play at least seven games over 7 days. We visited the hall. The kids live in barracks. There's 90 teams from around the country, and if you think you're good, you see teams from Florida, Texas, and California that just come in and rake. It's an impressive place. The hall is the hall, and everything about it, from start to finish, when I started the trip on Wednesday morning, till right now, it's just been absolutely everything you could ever want and just been so much fun.
Okay, let's start with the trip that you documented. What were you listening to in the car? And did you cultivate the playlist, or how does one just have a bunch of baseball songs?
I had a playlist mixed with some country, you know what I mean? So those are kind of the two things I love in my life. So I played, you know, every once in a while you'd hear a little, you know, and then, you know, a little bit of center field, and then, you know, Abbott and Costello, and then mixed in with some country. It was awesome. It was still, if you ever go back and listen to Who's On First, still one of the best things ever done.
Because you listen to actually the routine that they would do. That's on your playlist.
Yep. And whose wife goes on to pick up the check? Yeah, naturally. Who? Naturally.
All right,
you
so
pick
Dan,
up the ball and you throw it to who? Naturally.
So Dan, you said at the beginning of your trek, normally a 4.5 hour trip to Cooperstown, it took you 6 hours. How?
I just took my time. I stopped and got coffee and, you know, and had a little lunch and documented my trip, you know, and showed some scenery and things like that. So it just took me a while to get out of the house and all that kind of stuff before I left. So yeah, it was a lot. And then once I got to Cooperstown, I stopped in a store that had, Ortiz beer that they were selling. You know, I stopped at the Welcome to Cooperstown sign. So all kinds of things. So it just, I wanted to document everything, because if you've never been here, it's worth the 4.5 hours, and it won't take you six, but it's worth the 4.5 hour drive. So Fred, I just wanted to give the fans a little bit of a taste of what it would be like to come out here, and the drive and then everything else that goes with it. So it was fun. I had a blast.
So your whole thing leading up to this was David Ortiz had promised you a while back that he would sit down and talk to you I don't even know how it was set up. I think you had told us
in May, Rich, I emceed his charity golf tournament, and I have for a couple of years now. And him and I stand up there, and we raise a ton of money for his Boston Children's Hospital Fund and for the fund in the Dominican. And I said to him afterwards, he said, thank you. And I said, I don't ever want anything from you. I said, all I want is when you go into Cooperstown 2 months from now, when you're out there that weekend, and I know you'll be busy and people will be pulling you left and right, I just need 5 minutes. I want to sit down with you and just chat about where you are and what it's for. Yeah, I got you. And I've said, no, David, look me deep into my eyes, in my soul. You need to do this. And
you don't know how much this means to me. Look me in the eyes and tell me.
But I did it with Pedro, and it was great. And I went to the compound that Pedro's family was staying at, and they were all gathered around looking at some clips of Pedro doing stuff over the years, and it was awesome. And the same thing, it just took me, because David has so many people handling him, from his children's fund to his agent to his marketing agent to everyone you can imagine, the Red Sox helping him out, Pam Ken, So is everybody around him? And it just took me a while. And finally, you know, I think I was communicating with you and John. And finally, I got, you know, word that it could happen. So I was all of a sudden I'm sitting there 8 o'clock in the morning, and Ortiz texts me and says, "Hey, let's do this." And I said, "Okay, meet me." He says, "Meet me at the Clark Center. I have some thing I have to do for the Hall of Fame." So I'm driving over there and I can't get in. And I'm like, "David," I texted him, I can't get in because the security, you don't have the right credential and things like that. So I called somebody at the Hall of Fame. They helped me out, said, "If you can get to the hotel, we'll get you into the hotel where the Hall of Famers are staying." So then next thing I know, David, I'm driving over to the hotel. David FaceTimes me and goes, "Hey, where are you?" And I'm like, "I can't get in." He goes, I said, "I'll meet you at the hotel." Done. Boom. Click. So I sat down with him outside. It was awesome. It was pretty cool.
So you, by the way, congratulations. I mean, that is legit awesome. Great. I was rooting for you all weekend because I knew that really meant everything to you. What would you have felt if you didn't get that interview?
Rage. I mean, I would have been disappointed. You know what I mean? Just because of how long it took me to try to get it. And it kind of set up my entire weekend for television because you could watch that Friday. And then Joe Giza put together stuff over the weekend. Last night, a 10-minute piece on Sports Final. And if you watch the bloopers that David and I had over the years, I mean, there's so many things that it just tied everything perfectly and it fit. And it just created what I thought was a memorable weekend, trying to show the fans what was here. That and the other thing that was great was the Red Sox threw a party for David on Saturday night. And it was like a wedding rehearsal dinner. Where you walked in and David just, toasted the entire place that was there, thanked a lot of people, brought Pam Ken up on stage, thanked her, and all the guys that were there, the teammates. I spent 2 hours in there sitting with Trot Nixon and Kevin Youkilis, and then went over and was talking to Damon and Wakefield, and it was just a really cool atmosphere.
You said they were talking about baseball. Yeah, you said they were talking about baseball.
We were. So
they would let you sit with them?
Yeah. I mean,
or were you standing?
I was sitting with Trot had his two boys and his wife, and you were sitting at a table. I sat down with them, and we were talking about them playing in the Mexican League and, you know, all kinds of things that they went through in their career. And then I, you know, went from place to place, talked to David, was going from table to table and taking pictures with people and thanking people. And then I ended up talking with Johnny Damon and Tim Wakefield and Brian Kenny from the MLB Network about numbers and what they mean and don't mean. And Damon, you know, was a quality candidate for the Hall of Fame. Only had 1 year of voting and then he was out. But he did so much more for the team outside, you know, and some of the things. He was the guy up front, him and Millar in the media and things like that. And then, you know, Damon would point to Wake and say, "This guy got us through extra innings in the ALCS and in the World Series. And, he, you know, you can't measure that in a statistic that's going to get you into the Hall of Fame." So it was all conversations like that, and then funny stories. Pedroia was telling funny stories, and you know, he had his family there too. So it was just a really cool thing. There was no pretense. Nobody had an attitude, and you know, it just kind of made the whole trip again like it was a high school reunion where those guys just picked up where they left off, just talking the game and loving being around each other. So
would that be heaven? Well, if I don't know if you believe in heaven, but if there is a heaven, would that be heaven?
Well, if I go into the pearly gates, Fred, there's going to be three signs. One sign is going to say, "This way to go to the Hall of Fame, Cooperstown, everything that goes with that, the Red Sox, the, you know, the breaking the curse and all those players and just everything about that." The other sign is going to go say, "Go left and you're going to Walt Disney World." And the other sign say, "Go straight and you're going to go to Chatham and you get to watch the Cape League every night." So those are my three options when I get to heaven. Right?
Your heaven kind of sucks.
It's not Marvel characters and things like that. And, you know, it's not Guitar Fest and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's just my
no meaning your dad, just baseball. I gotcha.
No, his dad's a Cooperstown.
Oh, okay. I missed that part.
Now, Dan, no, but in all seriousness, like while you were BSing about baseball with those guys, did you take like a moment and go like, "Oh my God, this is like the greatest thing that I've ever done"?
I took a moment when I was driving. I had to go live at 11 o'clock Saturday night, so I left. And
that's why you seem so tipsy.
You know me, Fred. Absolutely. Boring them down. But I did actually. After, when I was driving and I was sitting there getting ready to go on TV, I was like, that was pretty special. That was like one of the top things I've done as far as covering sports in history, because you're sitting around all these guys who just won World Series, and then you're sitting around, you know, Jim Rice and Atkin. It's just like but there was no like, hey, look at me, I'm a Hall of Famer type of stuff. You know, it was just one of those natural moments that the Red Sox put together. And Ortiz, like I mentioned, he got up there and saluted his teammates and said thank you to his teammates. He thanked everyone in the Red Sox administration, and he thanked all the people, the little, you know, the clubhouse guys, everybody that did something. So Sam Kennedy was there, and he toasted David. It was really well done. So, Fred, to answer your question, it was a cool moment for me, kind of wrapping up that 20-year run of what we've seen with this Red Sox team.
When all those dudes get together, the old Hall of Famers, who throws down the hardest?
Boggs. Wade Boggs. Oh, my God.
Really?
That's the most surprising answer ever. All right, what did you see?
Have you ever heard the stories of Wade Boggs?
Sure.
Drinking a case of beer from the West Coast, from Boston to L.A. and things
70.
Like that.
I mean, 70 beers.
Yeah, I mean, I went and I went to a Hall of Fame event. They have autograph sessions downtown and everything else where your fans can sign and everything else. And Boggs is great. He's great to deal with and stuff. But, you know, he's sitting there as a Dixie cup in the signing autographs. And I did a quick interview with him, and he's, you know, chugging a beer and everything else. And then he's on the parade. They have a Legends Parade where all the Hall of Famers come down Main Street Saturday night at 6 o'clock, and Boggs is the only one who's got a beer, and he's just like hoisting it to the crowd and chugging it down. He must have had a keg on the thing with him. You know what I mean? I can't imagine he's ever really like, just, I can't imagine what he sweats now. You know what I mean? He's playing golf and everything else. It's got to be oozing like Bud Light. You know what I mean? It's like crazy. But yeah, Boggs is the guy. So, and Damon's Damon. You know what I mean? So, we've all seen Johnny over the years. He was dressed, you know, with the, you know, cut off sleeves and everything else at the event, and looked like he was ready to go out and wrestle someone. But it was pretty good.
All right. Well, and today you say goodbye to Cooperstown.
Yep. Say goodbye to Cooperstown. And, Patriots camp starts Wednesday. I'll be there every day for the next month or so, preseason and everything else getting going. So we go from one to the next, but this was a cool chapter to unfold and get done. So,
well, Dan, while you were gone, your Red Sox did awesome. I just wanted to let you know. I know you probably didn't have a chance to. I know you probably didn't have a chance to pay attention, but they did great all weekend long.
It was tough. You know, it's like holy hell. Everyone Friday night, everyone was like, "What the heck is going on?" You
know, I want to know
that whole Duran thing was just like mystifying. Like, dude, what are you doing?
So did you talk? Did you hear any of the ex-players talk about what happened on Friday night?
No, you know, I mean, just the fact that they got beat up. Nobody really was talking. Everyone was checking the score and like, oh my god, what the heck's going on? So I don't think at that point nobody had seen the games and stuff like that. So. It was crazy. You know what I mean? So, I feel bad for Alex Cora, you know, and you see every time they cut to him, you know, he's trying to keep an okay neutral face, which is, you know, hard enough. I mean, Terry Francona said that was like the one thing you always knew in the dugouts, the camera was on you. So you had to keep your straight face, but I guarantee you he's crushed and burning inside right now with what he has to deal with this team and not having anybody to play and the injuries and everything else. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough second half because you're not going to get Sale back anytime soon, if ever. And, you know, Evaldi looked like he was ready to go and he struggled out of the shoot and you know, JD and Devers and, you know, what about Bogarts? I mean, it's not easy. So just let's enjoy Tuesday night where Tito will be there and Cora will be there and get to see all of his ex-teammates and what have you, if any of them show up to that one too, but it'll be fun.
All right. Any plaques that you're going to visit today before you turn off the lights?
Yeah, you know, remember I told you guys I baptized my son Harry, who, by the way, guys, played. Harry was in Arizona with San Francisco when he was working for the Giants for a year. And he played pickup basketball in one of those games with Tim Kirkchen.
Oh, really?
I texted him. I heard you guys this morning talking about it. And good for Tim. He's an awesome guy. He got in at the Ford Frick, the BBWA Winners Award, this excellence award here. So
you've seen him play, though? Because that was the tweet we were talking about.
Harry said was, Dad, I texted him. I said, what was it like to play basketball with Tim Kirkchen? He said, intense. LOL.
That's all.
Wow.
Because that was the Gary, for the people who didn't hear it, Gary Washburn tweeted that Tim Kirchen was the best media, like, basketball game player. Like, he was shockingly good, which is hysterical because he might be the last person I would have thought that about. But sure enough, your son confirms it.
Very intense.
Yeah, very, very, very intense. Harry said it was like, whoa.
All right.
Which
well,
is awesome because Tim's 5'2" or something like that, right? So, well, pretty good.
Dan, so maybe one day they'll enshrine you into that very hall.
No, I'm good, Fred. I'm fine. You know what I mean? So all good. It's really cool.
You know, maybe one day you'll get one of these awards.
But yeah, I'll go see the plaques, Fred. The last time I leave, I'll kind of quickly just go through, see Ted Williams, see, you know, the Babe Ruth and the Yaz and the Rice and the Fisk and the Pedro and Eck and on to Ortiz, and I'll end it there and kind of walk out and maybe pick up a souvenir or two for the weekend and have a great drive home with some more country music and some baseball music and cap it all off. But again, bucket list. If you want to come out here, it's a great, great take. The whole weekend is fantastic. And I would even come when it's not peak times, you know, when the ceremonies are going on. It's almost better when it's quiet, where you can take 2 or 3 days, go in and out of the hall for a couple of hours each day and kind of soak up some things and then clear your mind, go have some food, maybe play golf and stuff like that, and then come back and go in the hall again at night. And it's awesome. I always thought, wouldn't it be cool if it was like night at the museum in the Hall of Fame? Like, you know, in Cooperstown, where guys got together and you shut off the lights and, all right, who's playing now? We have a pickup game outside and stuff. That'd be awesome.
Like all the statues came to life. And
yes.
Do you fantasize? So cool. You have fantasized about that, haven't you?
No, I just think it'd be fun. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it would be great.
I just like how you go in the museum and then you have to clear your mind for like a while.
Because there's so much information. You know what I mean? Like Fred is a Cardinals fan. You just go.
I've been to the Hall of Fame. I've been to the Hall of Fame.
It's great. It's just, yeah, it's like you pick your team, you got your team, you go through, and it's cool. So, and there were so many people here, you know, Red Sox fans and stuff. It was just, it was nice. It was really nice.
Well, I mean, hopefully that drive home will clear your head.
Yep. I'll be ready to go.
And you'll be able to get ready to tackle the next challenge.
How much would you pay to spend the night inside of Cooperstown one night?
They do. I don't think. I think they have. They've had sleepovers. I'll have to check on that.
But they're for like 9-year-olds, right?
I could adopt a kid for a night. Say, come on, come with me. We're going to watch Field of Dreams. Go outside. You know what I mean? So it's just like whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think they've done that. You know, so they've done that at ballparks too. It'd be cool with your son, wouldn't it? You know, Fred, Milo, you know, go out and watch Field of Dreams on the big screen and then, you know, the stars above at Fenway Park. And it'd be fun. They've done that before.
They have done that before. They were showing E.T., as a matter of fact.
Yeah, what are you doing? You know, show a baseball movie, right?
Yeah, I know. It really pissed me off. All right.
Oh, well, that's the other thing. Lastly, I'll say there's a 17-minute movie that you have to go to every half hour. It's on the every half hour. That when you walk into the theater, it's really cool, really well done about baseball, and kind of gets you going for your day too. So fans do that first thing you do when you go into the Hall of Fame.
Any crying at the end of the movie?
No, but it's just like you feel good. Like Eck is sitting there saying, "It's baseball, man. It's in your soul. It's in your soul. You just feel it, you know." It's things like that. So it's really cool.
All right. Well, Dan Roach, congratulations on getting the interview and your tremendous week at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Thank you so much for your time.
And I got to thank Joe Giza, if you guys don't mind, our crack producer. You guys know how good he is. He did a remarkable job this week.
I tweeted out a video that was – it's legitimately great. It's 8 minutes of you and David Ortiz back and forth over the years. I mean, you guys obviously legitimately had a – I mean, you had like a chemistry there, even though he still says he doesn't remember your name, which I may or may not believe.
He calls you a bitch.
Yeah. That's in there too. And by the way, Dan asked him about that in front of a crowd this weekend as well. And he goes, you know, your wife liked it when I called you bitch. He said that again this weekend, right?
Yes.
Was that this weekend or was that old?
This weekend.
It was old, but he says that to me all the time anyway, too. You know what I mean? So it's not like anything new that I haven't heard before. And So I could tell you guys stories off the air about stuff that he put me through over the years. So it's just kind of one of those relationships that, you know, it's like a couple of brothers, I guess, the way you look at it. But and it was fun. And I also want to thank John Dorman, my photographer, who's had to deal with me all weekend long. Think about that, fellas.
Why did he
ride separate cars? Because he didn't want to ride with me for 4.5 to 6 hours talking baseball, playing baseball music the whole way.
All right. Well, so you guys drove separately. You were both up there and you drove separately.
Yep. I came out on my own for two days before that. So that's why, you know,
just to soak it up. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, I did.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
All right. There you go. Wow. Dan Roach.
Oh, man.
Great Dan Roach.
I wish that there's something in life that would make me as happy as Dan Roach was this weekend. I mean, just elated. I mean, I got a text with the picture with him and David Ortiz like the minute after it was done. I did it. I felt great for him. I legitimately felt great for the guy.
I've been to the Baseball Hall of Fame. I was there for about 3 hours, and I was like, all right, that's fine. I've seen it. That's enough. I saw that movie he's talking about when you walk in, and that was it. I was fine. I didn't need to walk around, clear my head, and go back in. There's being a baseball fan, and there's that extra level, which very few people can achieve. Good
just
for you,
the,
Danny.
The idea that a man in his 50s has like thought of the statues coming alive is...
It's awesome.
It's interesting.
It's so Dan Roach. Wow. Okay, so when we get back... there is another insider who is adding more fuel to the fire on this Kevin Durant to Celtics speculation that came out late last night from Adrian Wojnarowski. And it sounds like there is truly movement. So we'll get to that right after this.
It would be nice. It would be good. All right.
This is big. Yep.
Okay. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we're at the Toucher and Rich radio program, and we told you earlier that Woj had announced that the Celtics were interested in Kevin Garnett, and then Shams.
Kevin Durant, yeah.
Oh, Kevin Durant. What did I say?
Garnett. That's fine.
Oh, Kevin Durant. And now Shams has come out and given us specifics.
Yeah. So what's interesting?
They're saying that the Celtics had offered up Jaylen Brown, White, and what was the other thing?
A draft.
In a draft pick.
Yeah, so now we know, the details there. And I guess that the Nets said that's not enough. They said what they wanted is they wanted Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, draft picks, and potentially one more rotation player. And that's the trade that we were talking about earlier, saying that that would get it done. And now it's basically been confirmed. The Nets, in a second, would say yes if you included both of those guys right there. Now, according to Shams, they said currently the Celtics are less inclined to include Smart along with multiple other players or pick assets, but the franchise is mulling over next steps on how to approach discussions. They said, as of right now, the Celtics have emerged as a serious possibility as a landing spot for Durant. They have tremendous interest in bringing him and view him as a piece that could take them over the final hurdle. Although there is work to be done, there is a deal to be had that would suffice the Nets' overwhelming ask. Okay, so right now, we know what the Nets want. The Celtics have the best package. They'll take it. Brown, Smart, picks, and some throwaway bench guy. If you're Brad, You got to pull the trigger on that. And I understand why they ended up putting up Derek White at first, because that's you don't want to give up everything. For you, this is negotiating, and everyone knows that's kind of one thing next. But I think this has gone from being a story about leverage against the Miami Heat or the Toronto Raptors, who have been speaking to it, into this now seems legitimate. Now that Shams is reporting that the Nets would agree to that deal, it's now that they've got Malcolm Brogdon, I think that's a deal you have to make if you're Brad Stevens. So I posted that out there. I put the article up, and I put what the parameters were and how the deal can be made immediately. And all of a sudden, I'm getting all these tweets saying, there's no way I would do that deal. Now, all three of us agree that you would make that deal, correct?
Yes.
If you're Brad Stevens, you pull the trigger. I want to talk to somebody who has a problem with that, because I'm trying to figure out your rationale for not for giving up those two guys for the best, one of the best players on the planet for 4 years. Jaylen Brown could walk in two, and there seems to be a little bit of writing on the wall. I'm not going to buy any conspiracy theories, but he has liked certain tweets. It is pretty much assumed that he wants to be the man somewhere.
I wouldn't even care. That doesn't even
matter. No. This is why it matters.
I know why it matters, because you have Durant for four and him for two. But it doesn't matter, because you should do the deal anyway, regardless if you wanted to stay.
Why I'm saying is it matters is it's more reason for the Celtics to do it.
Well, obviously, but it doesn't. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. I would still do the deal even if he loved Boston.
Honestly, we said it earlier. This is in Brad Stevens' lap. He's got the best package out of any other team in the NBA. Brooklyn looks at the Celtics and go, okay, they have exactly what we need and what we think is fair in return for Durant. I've always been a Marcus Smart guy, but if this gets it done, I will take Kevin Durant on this basketball team, and they would be the overwhelming favorite to win the whole thing next year. I don't see how you can't do this. It makes too much sense for both sides. Both teams can sell it to their fan bases. The Nets get a fair package back, and the Celtics get one of the best players on the planet.
I also think this whole rotation player is something they threw in there that they're not going to get.
Sure.
Because I think the Nets would be perfectly happy with just those two guys and picks. And I think the money matches up. It seems like it does. There's a ton of people who are saying they wouldn't do this, and I can't get that logic after they did the Brogdon trade. But if you're one of those people, I'd like to hear. Maybe somebody's got a great point that I just haven't thought of yet, because it sure as hell seems like an easy deal to me. 617-779-0985. But this is now confirmed by Shams Charania and Adrian Wojnarowski. This is not a non-story. It sounds like right now they are in the lead. There is a price, and all the Celtics do have to do right now is pull the trigger.
Yeah, and this whole thing, well, they're set up for the future. Who cares? Win now. All right, you're in a position to win now. I think you wouldn't have beat Milwaukee if they had Middleton. This team together.
I was just going to say, they went to a game seven without Middleton. I'm thinking Milwaukee certainly would have been favored if they had had him. So, yes.
Right.
If you have Durant, everything changes. Everything.
Yes, absolutely. You have to make that deal. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.